Valley 104.9 goes behind the scenes with former King County Councilperson Kathy Lambert every Tuesday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 6 p.m. as part of Valley 104.9's Community Talk and Info Sundays.
And now, the conclusion of Kathy's discussion from last week. Let's take a listen.
So, tariffs. Listen to what people are saying and think about, well, it's early in the negotiations, or that country hasn't come to the table yet, or that country's on the list of 70 that are coming to the table. But you can't do all those negotiations, you know, in an hour, and just so people can say it's not fast enough. And, you know, I was listening today to somebody talking on the radio about, well, you know, it's been 3 months. Why isn't this done? And I wanted to climb through the radio and say, it was talked about in 1998 and it's still not done. What are you saying? It has to be done in 3 months. So think about what people are saying and don't let the inaccurate, the not common sense perpetrate and penetrate any of your conversations, because it's up to us to be educated enough to say, huh, that's interesting you should say that. But, you know, I learned that tariffs are a very old process. And then up until 1912, they were the greater income of our country. Did you know that? Huh. And yes, it is changing because there's so many that have to come to the table and each country is different. And I am so thankful that our government is coming to the table in a kind way to think about what are the things that are important to that country. Why are these tariffs so high? And, you know, and it is not only tariffs. When I was in China, I got to see some things that were interesting, and I brought some of the ideas home. And one of them, which I thought was a good idea, was that certain areas, they don't need to go to the port to get their products that come in on the ships, that the truckers that are taking products, you know, and going back after loading onto the docks, they take some of the products back out on the way to give and drop off in different places in the community, so that the business owner doesn't need to drive all the way to Shanghai or all the way here or there. They can go to a place much more convenient for them, which saves them time and money, and that all the businesses in that area are able to get their products delivered much more quickly and close to where they are. So I brought that idea home. And of course, there were people at the port that weren't really interested in that, which is very interesting that the port has no opponents. A port commission should have some opponents. And should be watched a little bit more carefully about how are they negotiating and what is our port doing in comparison to LA and Portland and San Diego, because we are in a consortium and we should not be at the end of the consortium. I don't know where we are right now, but I know that there was a period where we were not processing as much as I thought we should be. Anyway, moving on past that. So when you hear people say things on the radio that you now know are not accurate, call them and say, I heard this and I don't think that's accurate. Why are you saying that? And hold them accountable. If they think that in this media market, which is, as you know, the most liberal media market in the entire country, they pander to that. They think that as long as they say what they think people want to hear, then they will be popular. It's not about popularity. You don't need to be given candy all day long. You need to have some meat and vegetables and to be respected that you are smart enough to know what is the truth. And you want to know the truth so you can think for yourself. One of the things I hate is to listen to a speech and then have the commentator come on and tell me what I just heard. I know what I just heard. I just heard it. And then when I hear them saying what was said, and I'm thinking, that's not what they said. No, actually, they said something different. And what is the little spin that they put on it? And, you know, I regularly, my husband knows when I listen to a speech, I have my phone with me. so that I can call and say, I'm sorry, you put a spin on that was not accurate. And I just want you to know that I heard the spin and I don't appreciate it. If they get, whether it's radio or TV or media, print, that they hear from you, I heard that or I knew that story. And this week has been so crazy busy for me. I have seen so many things, been to so many lectures. I have so much to tell you that it's quite interesting to see what the media says. And as in the issue with the UW this week, I was there. So it's really difficult for me to listen to what the media says and including what the UW says because I was there and that isn't really what happened. So anyway, we all have to be more informed consumers so that this doesn't keep happening. Okay, so one of the things is the speed. People are saying it isn't fast enough. This needs to be done. Well, yeah, it all does. But if you look at your own house and you walked in my house, you'd say, oh my gosh, are you going to clean this up? And I'd say, yeah, my goal is before the year 3000. So we all have our own speed, and I'm busy doing other things. So you have to realize that you can't do everything, and some things take a greater priority than others. So my daughter-in-law has a sign, please excuse my messy house. I'm in the midst of raising happy children. So whatever your priority is, you have a speed by which you're going to get things done. And for a Monday morning quarterback to sit and say, well, I think whatever, 60 other countries should have had their negotiations done by now. That is absurd. And you need to call people on that. Where do you get off deciding how many need to be done by now? Are you doing the negotiations? Do you know all the parameters? Do you know what else is happening? Then if you don't, then sit back and you'll hear this country is coming, that country is coming, this country is signed. It was very interesting to listen to one of the reporters, blonde lady, short hair. I have been trying to figure out her name. And anyway, she said that certain things had not happened. And the very next news thing said, breaking news, it just happened. And I thought, oh, I hope she feels ridiculous that she, first of all, what she said was premature to be saying, and obviously premature because it happened at the very next breaking news. So, when you see these things happening, stand up, be educated, be vocal, because when we're all educated, for the most part, we are going to agree on almost everything. We all care about being safe. We all care about our children being educated. We all care about roads that are actually passable. We care like 95% of the time on the same things. But all the media throws you is the hot buttons. And those hot buttons are a very small minority of the issues that we need to deal with on a daily basis. But they want to divide. And it's up to us to say, I am not going to divide. I am going to be an educated American, and I am not going to put up with that. So I think you need to study this, or you need to read the Federalist Papers. I cannot tell you how many people have said to me, what are the Federalist Papers? And I ask people, what's the difference between the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence? I don't know. Well, you're an adult. And if you'd been in my fifth grade class, you would have had them both read to you. And the threat that if I ever heard them come back in their high school or see them on a man in the street and say, I don't know the difference, I'll be looking for them. And of course, my class would laugh because they knew that they had read that and knew what it said and that I expected them to be educated citizens. So educating ourselves is really important and stopping people from saying things that aren't accurate. And doing the spin. Okay, let's go on. I have 12 points. So the next one is the stock market crash. I think I did talk about that already. The stock market is up. And interestingly enough, so the president goes to the East. He comes back with $4 trillion approximately of new businesses that are going to come into our country. And then I see this thing saying that he told Apple not to build in India. Well, that's kind of, sort of, maybe kind of what he said, but what he really was saying, I don't care what you do in India, but I want you to be building in America. That is very different than don't build in India. That is not what he said. He said he's not interested in that. He's interested in him building. Different message. But again, there's the spin. So the idea that we're hearing people talk about the negotiations and that he's bringing back for approximately $1 trillion. And in order to do this, that they're going to get expedited permitting for building these factories. And if you've ever tried to get a building permit in King County, well, you better grow a beard real fast, because it's going to take you, that beard is long, to be able to get it. And there are ways of saying, hey, look, this is what we want. You don't get this done this way, but we don't need to be doing every nitty gritty. There was even a situation where a man came in and he was going to enclose his garage, and the county made him do a footprint change. And he said, why do I need a footprint change? I'm not changing the footprint. I'm enclosing my garage. Well, because the form says you need to. So he came to me and we got that little thing fixed. But there's lots of things like that. And Trump is saying, look, we're going to work with you. And there have been projects where, you know, we put inspectors out on the project, and we had a huge federal and state and county city project with all these municipalities. And we put people that were the to-go people on the project. And while it was happening, if there was a problem, they got together in the little house on the corner. They talked about it. All the municipalities signed off on it and they went back to work. And there was no like, oh, well, I have to call DC and I have to call Olympia and I have to call the county and I have to call the city. No, it was all decided and things got done, and it's beautiful because everybody that was there knew they had the power to make it right. And they had to all agree in that room, not 16 levels of bureaucracy. So Trump is saying, look, we're going to help you be able to get all this done in as quick a time as possible. And this will be thousands of jobs. So at the fact that we now have just been told the day before that we are going to have an influx of more economics, that trade is going to be more fair, there's going to be more jobs. What does Moody's do? Moody's reduces our credit rating. And so the media is right on that. So they're not talking about what's going to happen with these jobs and more money coming in and more fair tariffs. They have this little thing that Moody's decides to reduce our credit rating. So I don't like to be cynical, but the timing smells bad to me. So whether it smells bad or not, that was a little thing that's in my head, like, huh, interesting timing. So we are going to have opportunities, and we need to be very aware of that. The other thing is inflation. And NBC News has decided they are going to track the price of eggs and gas and what all the things are happening. They didn't track it a year ago, 2 years ago, as it was going up, up, and up. But now all of a sudden they want to track it. And the Labor Department has said grocery prices are coming down. And I had just come from the grocery store when I was listening to this. And I had thought when I was at the grocery store, man, this is a lot cheaper. My eggs were less than they were the last time I bought them. And this is less, and the toilet paper was less, and all these things. I'm thinking this as I come out of the store looking at my receipt saying, this was good. And then for this to come down that, you know, NBC is going to spend their time tracking the price of eggs. You know what? I can track the price of my eggs. I'm perfectly capable. And I bet you are perfectly capable to track the price of the eggs, whether they are up or down. I don't need NBC News to do that. So obviously, if NBC News thinks that's the biggest thing that they can do, they probably aren't that important to be listening to start with. So so that is, inflation is down. Inflation is doing a good job. I'm looking at all these notes. Hold on just a second. Yeah. I think I'm going to save for another week to talk about the media. There is so much happening in the media right now that is quite sad. And one of the things that they are talking about is who are the media? And as you may have seen, we have a new media person, Carolyn Leavitt. And you have probably also seen that our president has made himself more available than any president I've ever heard of, and without notes on any topic. And it's so funny, my husband said to me the other day, "You know, honey, I can name several members of the presidential cabinet." Now, my husband's in his 80s, so he's seen a lot of presidential cabinets. And he said, "I have never known this many names." And I laughed and I said, "Why do you think that is, honey?" And he said, "Because they're out there and they're explaining what they're doing." And, you know, Paj Patel got into a little tiff with our Senator Murray the other day. And I had to laugh. The look on her face was hysterical because he just said, "No, that isn't accurate," or to that point, which is why she looked so funny when she responded to his comment. You know, there are people that are in these positions who have been chosen from all across the country, and they make themselves accessible. Even my husband, who really doesn't like politics very much, and you know, he's watched from the inside when some of these things have happened, and so he's informed on some good ways of being informed, and so. He said, "I really like and I know these people, and I know what their role is. I know what their duty is, and they seem to be hardworking. And why are all these people all of a sudden so anti any changes?" And I had to say, "Honey, because lots of them have vested interests in what happens. And when you start looking at Abrams, who has her own business, so to speak, and she got several million dollars and didn't do hardly anything. And, you know, even with county contracts, there were many county contracts that when I said, I want to see what the outcomes were, where are the deliverables? And they said, oh, council member, don't you worry about that. It's all fine. Well, yeah, it might be all fine. So it's all fine. I want to see how it's all fine so we can talk about how it's all fine. Well, they haven't quite gotten to what they were supposed to do. Okay. So, anyway, let's go further into that at another point. But there's a lot of contracts that went to a lot of people that did zip. And there's a lot of NGOs, which are non-government organizations, who have been getting money funneled to them for ridiculous things. And we have a council member who is running for executive, who, in my mind, did a lot of funneling. And wouldn't let it be funneled or distributed, is a better word, evenly across the county for the first time in history. And that, in my mind, is not okay. These allocations that have been under the table or cloaked in some other thing, so that it sounds good, it's not okay. And so we have to turn over every rock. If you are doing the right thing, you shouldn't be worried about people turning over your rocks. You know, I had a reporter one time that I saw in the garage, and I said, "I know you've done a public information request, and it's going to take lots of time. So why don't you tell me what it is you're looking for, and I'll give it to you?" And he said, "Well, I can't do that." And I said, "Okay, here's what I'll do. I will sit in my office and watch you so you don't get into things that you aren't supposed to get into. But you can have free access in my office to go in and look for whatever you want to look for." And he looked at me really funny and he goes, "You're serious?" And I said, "Yeah, I don't want to spend the time for you to find out that that isn't even accurate information. You actually should be looking for this if that's what you want." And he looked at me and he goes, "Can I get that?" And I said, "Sure, you can." And so I wrote down what he needed to do to get that information online. And he said, "Well, then I don't need my freedom information request." And I said, "No, you don't. All you need to do is ask, and I'll give you whatever it is you need to know," because I had nothing to hide. So I have no sympathy for these elected officials that are like, "Well, I can't explain why this money went there or why that money went there." Well, if it's your fiduciary responsibility, you should dang well know, or you should at least know, I know that that wasn't done right, and I tried to make that public, and the Times wouldn't do anything about it. Or I said it on TV several times, and nothing happened. So at least you have made it clear to the public, here's a place to look. And when an elected official says, I don't know, or I don't remember, well, okay, you cannot remember, but when you have a public official who said 200, and let me see, 226 times, I don't remember on a particular topic, you begin to wonder, well, why don't you remember? This was your department, your federal agency. You should remember that because it was under your purview. And if you were going to Congress to be asked about your topic, when I was taken to court on two occasions for the county, once and for the state to testify, and I knew I was going to be asked about a particular topic, I brought out the file. I reread it so that I could refresh my memory on all the details. I brought the file with me so that if I couldn't remember, that I could say, wait a minute, I think that's on page 10, and flip to page 10. Well, here's what it says. So when it was over, one of the attorneys came to me and said, I tried so hard to trip you up, Representative, but you were just too prepared. And I started laughing. I said, well, that's the best compliment I've had all day. So, if I were the department head, is the one I'm thinking about, named Comey, I would have read the file. And to say 226 times, I don't remember, that is not okay. So when you hear things like that, it's like, well, what kind of administrator are you that you don't know? And if you knew that you didn't know, so in one case, there was something that was very mathematical, and my chief of staff came in, who was totally brilliant. And he had discovered something that was not right. And it was so complicated. I said, okay, stop. I'm bringing everybody in who actually does this, and you can tell them exactly what you found. Now, I was there. I heard it. He was the genius because that was an assignment of his to take care of. And, but I was there. I knew it. Could I explain it as well as he? No, but I knew who my resources were, and I brought it. If this person was going to Congress, he should have said, ladies and gentlemen, this is not something I have focused on, but John, Joe Smith, Sam, whatever, that's his field, and he is here to answer the questions. That's great. All they want is the answers. And they wanted Mr. Comey to be able to say, yes, that is the correct thing, because I know that that's the person who did it. So when you see these things happening, it's not okay. And you need to know this because we are voting for the same people that are doing things because nobody's checking them anymore. And that's very, very sad. And when you look that one of the newspapers, 82% of their staff is one party. That is not okay. Whether it's Republican or Democrat, I don't care. If you've got a newsroom, you need to have a third Republican, a third Independent, and a third Democrat, so that when you're talking about an issue, you have the gamut of thought to be able to say, well, you know what? You're a little biased over here, or you're a little biased over there, or what about this? But when you have everybody in the same bubble of thought, you're not going to get anything that is something that can appeal to everybody. And when you write policy, it shouldn't be Republican policy, it shouldn't be Democrat policy. It should be a centrist policy that everybody can live with, because then the law stays the same. And when the law stays the same, people have continuity and trust and comfort. When the laws go woo and then woo and then woo and then woo, people don't have confidence. And that is not okay. And I think it, or I don't think, I know on this, and think that the issue is that we have not done good work up front. So you put forth a really terrible bill, like the one Malka Dingra put together on police pursuit. It was not well thought out. Why was it not well thought out? Because every sheriff in the entire state said it was a bad policy. And lots of other people said it was bad policy. But by golly, that's the policy it's going to be. And then things started to crumble. So the next year they came back to try to, quote, quote, fix it. And they fixed it a little bit around the edges here, a little bit there. But it still didn't work. Seattle still almost 700 officers down. And even our sheriff is talking about that her budget's going to be $30 million less than last year. And living in the unincorporated areas or the areas around the unincorporated areas, you're going to have less sheriffs and police in your area. Because even if you live in a city and you have your own officers, you aren't going to have as much backup for your officers. And so everybody is negatively impacted by this. And it's very difficult to hire policemen right now because of that bad policy. And so, you know, it has implications. And when you don't put the policy directly to the person who made that policy and you keep saying, well, we'll fix it, we'll fix it. Well, no, if you did it right the first time, you don't have to come back year after year. So I had a piece of legislation 1 year, and it was very complicated. And I had great staff, and she brought in a think chart and rolled it out across the entire table. These are all the decisions you have to make, council member. And I go, oh, well, in that case, I need an amendment. And she goes, all right, you haven't even looked at it yet. Yeah, I know. So the amendment is we come back in 2 years and evaluate how things are going. And she started laughing and she said, really? And I said, yeah, I have probably over 100 decisions to make. The likelihood that I'm going to get every one of these right, maybe yes, maybe no. So, you know, we went through each of the decision points and then she took them back to the people who were involved in administering each of those points. And it took a little while because she had to make appointments and get all the people in the different categories. And they each said yes. They had some suggestions, and but they said yes to each thing. And so the few suggestions we had, we wrote in, and then it became law. 2 years later, we put it out to everybody and said, okay, this has been the law for 2 years. And everybody came in and said, it's working great. So it was like, okay, that's what happens when you have good staff and caring elected officials that collaborate with the people on the front lines to say, what are the implications? Because you cannot possibly know the implications of every single thing. And so the people on the front lines, they do know the implications. And so you get that feedback back, and then you don't end up with a mess. And we still are sacrificing people and lives because of our officers being fewer and having a less response time. All right, so that is where we're going to take a break, and I will come back with some more. I have so many notes of things I want to tell you that I think we're going to have to next week continue on with this, because there's so much here. And I do want to also, the week after, talk to you about Seth Dillon, who is the CEO of the Babylon Bee. And if you have not ever seen the Babylon Bee, oh my gosh, get on the Babylon Bee. It is a online comedy, and they are hysterical. He gave a speech for over an hour, and I got to say, I was laughing most of the time. And so he had a lot to say about freedom of speech and so many behind the scenes stories that were just amazing. And then I went to another speech, and it was a woman talking about our currency and our economics as far as some of the things happening internationally that were quite interesting to know about. So I want to share those with you in the next coming weeks. And so I hope that today you have gotten the idea that we definitely need to be looking at what are people saying? Do they make sense? Is it reasonable to encourage the idea that people can say things that are not accurate or irresponsible or uneducated? And you as an educated person not stepping up and saying, hey, I don't think what you just said is accurate. And I love our country, and let's not put it down, and let's behave in a way that is respectable. And, you know, everybody should be heard. And one of the things that really upsets me is that this last legislative session, our Washington House of Representatives Speaker Jenkins, they passed a rule that changed the rules that have been in place for 132 years, that everybody, whether you're Republican or Democrat on the floor, you are elected for your district and you are able to say whatever you want to say in usually about a 3-minute period. and the speaker can call on you for longer or, you know, whatever, if there's a question, but it's very respectful. You don't say, oh yeah, the last speaker was stupid. No. You have to be very polite. You have to look at the speaker. You have to say, Mr. Speaker, the good representative from District 5's comment, I would like to clarify, or I'd like to embellish that there are some statements that may need to be reconsidered or something like that. It is very polite, and nobody has cut into other people's time, because whether you like what they're saying or not, it doesn't really matter. It's their time to let their constituents be represented. And they voted this year on a party line vote that if any Democrat was tired of listening to a Republican, that they could make them stop speaking. That is not okay. And I would never have supported that in the opposite. If the Republicans were in charge, and that came up that we would cut off the Democrats from speaking, I would not have voted for that. Without a doubt, I would not have voted for that. And the fact that it was voted, if you believe in free speech, you need to talk to your elected official, because it was done, you know, unanimously by the Democrats. And I don't believe the Democrats that are friends of mine, when I told them that, they were like, they did what? And I believe that the Democrats need to step up and tell the other Democrats that was not okay. I believe in free speech, Republican, Democrat, Independent, I don't care. Everybody who is elected that goes to speak for their constituents on the House floor deserves to be able to speak for the time allotted and not be cut off by this new rule after 132 years. That rule needs to be removed and go back to the original rule. So I want you to feel like you learned something today, that if you have experiences where you tell people, hey, wait a minute, that isn't accurate information, this is what I know, please let me know. And I would be happy to hear that people are learning, that they're standing up to truth, that when you're listening to the news, especially if you're listening to the mainstream media, that you think about what they're saying. Is that practical, have done in 150 days or whatever the time slot is? Is that practical to have done with more countries than what have already been done? Is this make any sense? Why are they saying this? Question what you're hearing, because when they know that you're thinking and questioning, then they will be motivated to be more truthful. And that dear man that I met at the store the other day, he'll have more possibilities of friends who think. Anyway, that was such a funny experience. So I hope you enjoyed tonight's presentation, and next week's going to be loaded, because I've got enough here for a very long time next week. Have a great night.
Kathy will be back next week with another new episode of Behind the Scenes, right here on Valley 104.9 Northwest Eclectic.